act like the bell rang? There it is. Okay, welcome, West End Church of Christ. We've got a lot of visitors with us tonight. And if you'll grab your Bibles, you'll be able to follow along because we have an overhead that I'll be using as we kind of walk through this lesson tonight. Class is called Excellence in Praise and Worship. And we're in the second section that focuses on us being a royal priesthood. And tonight, the section focuses on sacrifices. And so we're going to get into that in just a minute. I've asked Johnny Montgomery, if he would, to lead us in an opening prayer as we get ready to start class. Johnny?
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, as always, we are most thankful each and every time that we're able to come together and to praise you and to study a portion of your word, and we're thankful for this opportunity. We are thankful for each class and each one that is teaching tonight. We are thankful that the parents seem to bring their young people here. We pray for our brother Jim as he brings a lesson to us, that he will be able to bring the things that he has studied and to bring for us. We pray as we listen that we are listening, and if the things that he says are in accordance to your will, that we apply them to our life. As we're going into this season, and Thanksgiving tomorrow, we know that there'll be family travelings, and we pray for each one of our number, especially that would be traveling, they'd be safe to their destination and to return home. And we are special thankful for this period that our country reminds us that we of all people need to be thankful and praise during this time, and we need to praise you for that we can be thankful that your plan through your son Jesus came to us, and this is our prayer in his name. Amen.
Thank you. Okay, so if you've got any comments tonight, we'll certainly be glad to entertain those. And we've got some folks that are out of town tonight, but like I say, lots of visitors too. So hopefully this will be an edifying class for us tonight as we talk about the sacrifices that are so important, sacrifices that have been made, and how they impact our lives. Sacrifices have been made for us and what we need to be thinking about. So we're going to talk about God's people. We're going to talk about priests. We're going to talk about sacrifices of God, sacrifices of Christ. And then we're also going to talk about the sacrifices that we make. The ultimate sacrifice was what? Jesus Christ. And that is the sacrifice that mattered most of all. When we think about the sacrifices today that we need to make to be in harmony with God's will, what do we think about when we think about a sacrifice? What do you think about when you think about a sacrifice? For you. It costs something. Okay, that's very good. What else? It costs something. That's very good. What else? Great gain. Arthel says great gain in a sacrifice that we make. Okay, what else? Okay. Johnny says in sports you sacrifice yourself or someone else. So we make sacrifices for things that are important to us or that we hold in high esteem or are of value to us for some reason. And like I said, we're going to cover those things with regard to God's people, the priests, God, Christ, and us today. And, you know, the thing that we have to think about, too, when it comes to serving God, and really what I think what gets in our way sometimes, and Travis and I have talked about this a lot, and I've talked with other people about it, but, you know, generally what happens when we're having problems with making a sacrifice, we get in our own way. Y'all know what I mean when I say that? We get in our own way of making the kind of sacrifice that we need to make in the eyes of God. Do y'all know what I'm saying? You understand? Does that make sense? Why do you think, what does that mean? Does that make sense? What's that? Giving everything. Yeah, letting our own opinion not matter as much as what God's Word says we should focus on. And not second-guessing His judgment, but doing what it is that He says that we should do. So what I want to do is I want to start with a definition of sacrifice. Sacrifice is an act of giving up something valued for the sake of something else regarded as more important or worthy. And if we think about that ultimate sacrifice we were talking about a minute ago, an act of love, giving up something for the sake of something else regarded as more important or worthy. And certainly the sacrifice that Christ made for us was an act of love. Was an act of love that He did because He loved us. And when you think about that act of love, because it was something that was regarded as more important or worthy, just think about what Christ did for us. And I'm going to get into that more when we get into that section of the lesson tonight. But first of all, the sacrifice that we want to talk about starts out in Genesis. If you want to grab your Bible and turn there with me, we're going to read from that scripture, and it'll be good for you to be able to follow along with that. So Genesis, the 4th chapter in verses 1 through 6, we've got the sacrifices of Cain and Abel. In Genesis 4:3, it says, Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. It doesn't say that Cain brought the finest fruit. It doesn't say that he brought fruit without spot or blemish. It just says that it was a fruit offering. And it also doesn't say anything about God requiring that offering of him. And the same is true for the sacrifice that Abel made as well. In Genesis 4:4, it says, Abel also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering. It does sound like there was an expectation that God had of them with regard to sacrifices. And ultimately, whatever the problem was with the sacrifice that Cain made, God was not pleased with it. And he also wasn't pleased with his lack of self-control either. If you read on down there just a little bit further in Genesis 4 and verse 5, and after it says 4, Abel also brought the firstlings of his flock and of their fat, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry. His countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. And its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. What kind of problems did Cain and his sacrifice create for him? It didn't please God, so what kind of problems did it create for him? Open the door to temptation. What else did it create for him as far as a problem went? Contention with his brother. I mean, God said sin's at the door. It's waiting for you. And so what does he ultimately do? And also think of the difference there, Cain and Abel. Cain was the firstborn. Abel was the second son. But his offering wasn't pleasing, and Abel's was. He created a problem between himself and God. He created a problem between himself and his brother. Why was the sacrifice not acceptable to God? I don't know. I don't know, but it wasn't. But Abel did what he was supposed to. Cain did not. But I think ultimately what we do have to remember is that God does have expectations. Well, again, when you look at the sacrifices that Abel made, it was the best that he could do. He gave of his firstborn. He gave of the fat portions, the best portion of the sacrifice. And if you look over in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, turn to that with me if you don't mind too. One of the things we talked about here recently was reading public scripture. And so I've tried to do a little bit more of that as we've thought about it, as it relates to the lessons that we're talking about and the things that we're trying to say. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter in verse 4, it says, "By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, being dead, he still speaks." What does that mean? His example lives on of doing what was right, of doing what pleased God, of being the man that God wanted him to be. So there's the difference of those two things and what happened with regard to those sacrifices, how God was pleased and how he wasn't pleased. Okay, let's go to another one. What about Abram or Abraham? That was a guy that had a relationship with God that was a strong relationship. And if you will, go back over to Genesis, the 22nd chapter, and think of what Abraham did to have a son. Think of what he went through to get to the place where he had a son. And then God says to him what? Sacrifice your son. Sacrifice your son. That's what he says. And again, let's read it, because that has always been a really interesting account to me in the 22nd chapter of Genesis. "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. And he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on the one of the mountains of which I will tell you." So do we hear any feedback from Abraham after this? What do we see from Abraham? He goes in verse 3. "So Abraham rose early in the morning. He saddled his donkey. He took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place which God had told him. And then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off." Now can you just imagine going through the process of going where he was to sacrifice his son? Can you imagine what must have been going through Abraham's mind as he was thinking about he was going to sacrifice his son? Okay, up here. Thank you for the head nod there. Here we come.
When I see these examples like Abraham, Abraham didn't question God in this sacrifice. He did it. And it's like you said, his thoughts were all this time had to be about this, right? He may even prayed about it. You know, Jesus, right before he's put on the cross, "Father, if this cup can pass, but right. If not, I accept it."
Right.
I'll be honest with you. If I had to sacrifice my firstborn, I couldn't do it. I mean, you know, I'm selfish.
Right.
And that's the thing we need to think about. Here tomorrow's Thanksgiving Day. We had a nice prayer about being thankful. I'm selfish about that. And
right.
that shows me right there that I have some growing as a Christian to do.
Right. What was the faith of Abraham? What was the faith of Abraham? As he goes on the journey, God tells him what he's going to do. Continue in verse 5. "And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship." And listen to what he says next. I really never have caught this before, but I did when I was reading it, studying. And he said, "The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you." So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, "My father." He said, "Here I am, my son." And he said, "Look, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." And the two of them went together, and they came to the place of which God had told them. Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son. So what's going through Isaac's mind at this point in time? what's going through Abraham's mind at this point in time. And he laid him on the altar upon the wood, and Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you've not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. Abraham went and took the ram, offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, The Lord will provide, as it is said, To this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, in blessings I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Ready to make the sacrifice that God asked him to do exactly what he told him to do. But God intervened because of Abraham's faith. And he constantly recognized, Abraham did, what God had done for him with regard to the blessings that he would bestow on him. And, you know, for me, it also makes me think of the faith of Abraham. And we look at the example that he was willing to do and be to please God. And if you think about that sacrifice like you're talking about, LR, and what he was willing to do, what he went through every step to do until the very last moment when God intervened and his son was spared. So the question is, what are we willing to do? What sacrifices, and I'm not asking you to answer that right now, we'll get to that a little bit later, but what sacrifices are we willing to make with regard to pleasing God, with regard to being what God wants us to be, with regard to understanding the sacrifices that have been made for us? And again, we're going to get into that in just a few minutes. Okay, the next thing is the Passover. And if you look at Exodus, the 12th chapter, in verses 1 through 13, God provides Moses and Aaron instruction about the sacrifice of the Passover. So the sacrifice is to be made once a year with the male lamb. Exodus 12:5 says, Your lamb shall be without blemish. So they were to give the best. And when the sacrifice was made, what were they were to do? They were to put the blood over the top of the doorpost for that house, and then God's going to pass over it. And for the households, there were provisions made for also households of those that were smaller that could not provide for themselves, and they could go to the house of a neighbor so that everyone would have the opportunity to participate in the sacrifice. And then everyone would be right in the eyes of God in that regard. This is a way that God's people were identified and they were taken care of, and with regard to the sacrifice that was made at the Passover. Okay, so the next thing we want to talk about is the sacrifice of the priest. In 2 Chronicles, in chapter 30, in verses 13 through 27. I have to go ahead and populate the slide or I'll forget to move it forward. Oops. Here we've got an example of the Passover being celebrated as the Levites made their sacrifices and peace offerings to God with the people. They observed the seven-day feast of unleavened bread. It was the time of the faith of the people being restored with many offerings being made to God. And verse 27 indicates that God was pleased with their sacrifices and offerings when it says, Then the priests, the Levites, arose and blessed the people, and their voice was heard, and their prayer came up to his holy dwelling place to heaven. God had expectations of the sacrifices that were to be made. It was a commandment of God, and it was pleasing to God in what was done. With regard to God's sacrifices, let's talk about that. If you want to turn in your Bible to John, the first chapter. In John, the first chapter, and verses 1 through 5. Let's look at that real quick. John 1, 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. When you think about the coexisting relationship of God and Christ in the beginning, from the beginning of time, the fact that they were as one, and the separation that occurred for the sacrifice that God made for that to occur, I don't know how to comprehend that. That's hard to understand, how God and Christ and the Holy Spirit are as one, but that oneness was split into different responsibilities with regard to the sacrifice that had to be made for Christ to ultimately be with us. And we think about relationships that we have on this earth, or relationships that we value. We can only imagine what it's like to be without someone that we are one with, a spouse, a mother, a father, whatever it might be. Travis?
You know, it's hard enough for a parent to let go of a child, you know, because we don't know what's going to happen. You know, they're going to make the right choices. They're going to make mistakes. You know, they're going to get hurt. God knew what was going to happen, and He knew that it wasn't good. He was going to send His Son vulnerable. He was going to give up all of this, you know, godly power that the Son should have, and make Himself a sacrifice. The people were going to reject Him. He was going to be hunted, basically, from His birth. Like you say, it's really impossible to comprehend. But I know how hard it is to think about watching my son leave home. It's, you know, at some point, it hasn't happened yet, but, you know, at some point in the future. But if I knew that was his destiny, I would never let him go.
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to understand. And then when you think about that separation, the oneness of God and Christ, and it was for the love of man. It was for the love of us. It was for us to have an opportunity to be with God for eternity. And then the other part that I think about a little bit later there in John 1 and verses 9 through 10, we think about the fact that God depended on human beings, to raise the Son of God. So mere mortals entrusted with the responsibility of raising Jesus. How about if that had been you? How about if you'd have been Joseph and Mary, and deity was put in your hands to be responsible for until a time of accountability from his perspective in this life, to be able to have that responsibility? Was that a sacrifice of God to trust deity to watch after the Son of God? I thought about that, and that was, you know, that's pretty amazing from a faith and confidence standpoint, in my perspective. It's again, some of these things are just hard to imagine and understand. They really are for me, anyway, because it's difficult to just understand what that would have been like for anybody, the sacrifices that God has made, but the expectation that he had of Mary and Joseph and the responsibility they took in taking on deity and raising deity. This is one of the songs that we sing, How Deep the Father's Love for Us. And if you look at those words, it's a great expression of just how much love there was and how much sacrifice God was willing to make. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. You know who the wretch is, right? The wretch is me, and the wretch is every one of you. That's the sacrifice that He made, to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns His face away. as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. We could sit here for the next 15 minutes and just think about that. And I think part of the problem is we don't do enough of that. We don't think enough about what we read, what it means, how we need to try and take it and apply it to our lives. But the sacrifice that God made on our behalf to send deity incarnate through Christ is just hard for us to understand. Let's think about the sacrifice of Christ. And there's a number of things that we can point to there with regard to, I mean, just his entire ministry. There's so many things that you could point out. And I'm really only going to talk about a couple of things. But if you think about that great impact that Christ had while he was on the face of the earth, and there were many that believed and were faithful to his will. But in Matthew, turn over there, Matthew 7 and verses 28 and 29. Matthew 7, 28 and 29. Why did people follow Jesus? What do you think? You think people had different motivations for why they followed Jesus? Absolutely. Absolutely. He preaches the Sermon on the Mount. 28:29, and so it was when Jesus ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teachings, for they taught him, he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. And when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. A lot of people sought after him. A lot of people, you know, wanted to follow him. They believed him. But then there were others that had other reasons that they wanted to do that as well. For food, for the miracles that he performed, for the healing, for the physical things, not totally understanding who he was and why he had come. So, but he continued his ministry anyway to lay the groundwork for everything that had to happen in this life for us to have a chance with him for eternity. Then in Matthew, the 8th chapter and verse 20, it talks about the fact of, you know, physical things in this life. Did Christ have anything in this life? No. Did physical things in this life mean anything to him? No. What about us today? Do physical things mean anything to us today? They mean everything to us, it seems like. Is it easy to get preoccupied with physical things? And do we sometimes sacrifice our relationship with God for physical things? Do y'all think we do that? Do y'all think we do that? Do we sometimes sacrifice self-will for God's will? I think we do. I think we do. There's a path back to him from that, but we got to stay focused on what it is that he wants from us. That's really what it's all about. If we think about the sacrifice that Christ made while he was in his ministry on this earth, there were a lot of them. You know, I also think about when, right after he was baptized, in the third chapter, going to the fourth chapter, when he went into the wilderness and he, you know, fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he went and he was tempted by Satan. And again, the sacrifice that he made to go through that temptation to take a stand for the truth. He left heaven to do all of that so that his ministry would be fulfilled. And he was ready to accept that next phase of sacrifice that was necessary for all of us to be united with God. It's available to all of us. And remember, sacrifice is an act of giving up something valued for the sake of something else regarded as more important or worthy. That was how God and Jesus felt about the value of mine and your soul. So chew on that for just a minute and think about mine and your souls being so important to God and Jesus Christ that motion or that plan was set in motion since before the beginning of time. And then how do I respond to that in my life every day? Just like LR, you're saying, I know I've got some work to do. We all need to be thinking about we've got work to do every day. And if you don't think you've got work to do, you're not thinking. You're not giving it the due consideration that you need to. Because none of us are ever where we need to be with regard to what God's expectation is of us and the things that we need to be trying to do in our lives every day. So the last part, well, I missed a slide. Sorry. Is the last part is us. And again, the sacrifices that we are willing to make. Psalms 51, 13 through 19 is the key text for the lesson today. And Psalms 51, 13 through 19 gives us a contrast of the old law sacrifices really with the sacrifices that we make today that God expects from us. And in the previous lesson, Travis said obligation, and I think that obligation is also an expectation. Do y'all think God has expectations of us as Christians? Y'all think He does? John said yes. Y'all say yes? Who's responsible for those expectations? Is it my job to hold Gene Spears accountable for the expectations God has of him? Well, I'm an elder, and Johnny's not. You know, do the elders have responsibility of expectations of people that are Christians that God wants them to do what they're supposed to do? Yeah. Matt says we all answer to God ourselves, and certainly as elders we have that added responsibility to try and help encourage people from an expectation standpoint, but ultimately it's everybody's individual responsibility to make sure that they are doing what God expects out of them. So to the point of whether it's expectation or obligation, how should we feel about those expectations God has of us? Why should we, give me just 1 minute, how should we feel about those expectations? John says we should be happy about those expectations God has of us. Yes?
We don't really think about it very often, I don't think, but when we look at the passage about Abraham,
yes,
he was told to be prepared. He cut the wood for the sacrifice of Isaac. He had responsibility, and he did it. He didn't question, why should I do this with what you want me to do with my son?
Right.
He had something to do, and he did it.
Right. Absolutely. So Abraham had an expectation that God put on him, and as when I was reading up, that's what I was trying to point out. Abraham didn't question what God told him to do. He just did it. He just did it to the point that he had drawn the knife and was ready to come down on his son. And can any of us imagine that? So what are we willing to do with regard to the expectations that God has of us? Now, that's something that we've got to think about for ourselves individually. God expects us to praise Him, to let our righteousness be reflected in our lives. God expects for us to have a broken spirit and a contrite heart. What does that mean? Broken spirit and a contrite heart. What do you think of when you think of those? That's not something you hear every day. So what do you think of when you think of those things as far as it's part of my character? Repentance. Humility. Humility. Humble before God. What else? Obedience, walking in the light of God. Why do we have such a problem with humility? Jim Whiteside's got something over here, Matt. Why is humility a problem? Why is humility a problem? Go ahead, let Jim Whiteside talk.
Well, what Abel and Abraham and any of those people that made sacrifices understood that it doesn't belong to us. It all belongs to God, including our children.
Right, that's true.
It was a gift. It was a blessing from God. And we go through this life, I'm afraid all of us, or most of us, it's mine. This is mine. This is what I have done. You know, look at me.
Right.
And, you know, and that's a hard place to get from where I am to where Abraham is. And, well, it's not. This is
right.
This was all a gift from God, and I'm here just to use it, and I'm to be teaching and preaching the gospel.
I think part of the problem is just our humanness and being so tied to the world, too. And the things that are of this world as well. Donnie, you got something too?
When we're talking about humility, that I think of the publican and the sinner, and the sinner knew who he was. He knew that he needed God.
Absolutely. You know, Jesus said in Luke, the 22nd chapter, in verse 24 or 42, Father, and he's talking about, you know, he's praying, and it's before he's to be crucified. He says, Father, if it is your will, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Sacrifice, humility, bowing before God, and whatever it is that you want me to do. And the problem also, along with the humility issue, is pride. Pride causes us to not have humility, in my opinion. Pride causes us to think too much of ourselves, Jim Whiteside, like you're talking about a few minutes ago. And the problem is, we get to thinking too much of ourselves and our opinion. And in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter in verse 25, it says, the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. But we kind of tend to elevate ourselves to a place where we're not ready to make a sacrifice for anything. We're not ready to give anything up because look at what I've done. Look at what I've accomplished. Look at me, and that's not going to get it done. We're not going to be who God wants us to be. We're not going to be able to be pleasing in his sight. Hebrews 13, 15 through 16. Oops, I went too far. It says, continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. So what does that look like in our lives every day? If we are continually offering the sacrifice of praise to God, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. What does that mean to you? As a sacrifice from me to God, from you to God. For me, it means I don't always get what I want, but God gets what he wants. I don't always get what I want, but God gets what he wants. Because God is God, and I'm not. I am to be subject to him. I am to live the way that he wants me to live. I think it's the things that we don't say. I think those are a sacrifice. I think the things that we do and the things that we don't participate in is a sacrifice. I think the people that we do and don't hang around with, I think that's a sacrifice. And collectively, I think that helps us understand the level of commitment that we've got to the will of God. All the things we've been talking about, character that we're trying to develop, and whether or not we're going to be committed to developing the character that he would have us to live. Travis, thank you so much for throwing Romans 12, 1 and 2 in there again. But it just fits so well with all these things we're talking about with regard to excellence and praise and worship, making our character what it needs to be, and the sacrifices that we make. And again, here's what I want you to do. Turn over to Romans 12, 1 and 2, And I want you to read your Bible, and I'm going to give a little added commentary on my take there about what it's trying to say as you read through that. And try. So I'm not reading some new version. This is New King James with inserted comments from myself and my thoughts on it. The writer says, I encourage you, brethren, and plus my stuff here, I encourage you, brethren, because of what God has done for you, the sacrifices that he's made for you, that you make some sacrifices for him by doing what? By presenting your bodies a living sacrifice in everything you think, do, and say in such a way those sacrifices are holy, godly, reverent, humble, which will make you acceptable to God, and for you to do this for him because of what he's done for you, it's reasonable. It's not more than you should be willing to give and desire to give because of the sacrifices that he's made for you. Verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, because when you look at this world, why would you want to be conformed to the world? It's not of God. But be transformed as the light of God, his children, by renewing your mind through the Holy Spirit-inspired word that is complete in everything that we need to know, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable expectation of what God wants us to do, to show our love for him and the sacrifices that he made for us and perfect or complete will of God. It's willingly giving ourselves to be what God wants us to be. Is it a sacrifice to be what God wants us to be? Is it a sacrifice? Yes. But is it a sacrifice that we should lovingly embrace? Absolutely, 100%. And if we call the sacrifice that God asked us to make, giving up the world, too much, then we probably need to rethink that. I'm afraid the devil has done such a good job of entrenching us so much in the world that many times it's hard for us to know what it's like to be close to God. And that's on all of us individually. And you don't just get that by coming here on Wednesday night or Sunday morning or Sunday night. That's not going to happen. Doesn't work that way. Does not work that way. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 tells us that we're to imitate God, take on his character, make it our character. We should desire to be like him in every way that we possibly can. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Let's look at that real quick. I'm going to run out of time here in just a minute. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, be followers of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. It pleases him. John 15, 12 through 17, Christ talks about love. He talks about the relationship that he has offered to us, and he shows us what he would give as the ultimate sacrifice in laying down his life for us. So I ask us to ask ourselves again, what am I willing to sacrifice? And what am I willing to do for somebody else instead of being self-centered or self-will, trying to live by God's will in my life to the best of my ability every day? That's it. Thank you for your participation, attention. Glad to have our visitors. We'll start on the new section on Sunday morning with Travis at section 3. Thank you.